Clint, welcome to episode 3 of Third and Long Podcast. What a night we had on Friday night. Holy smoke.
70-0. You know, I was looking through the scores in the state. I actually think in 11-man football, we had the second highest point differential. I think.
Well, this is the...
I think Pekin had a 76-0 win.
Okay. So... 70-0. It's the largest margin of victory in school history. School history.
Massive.
It was the second most points in school history. That 2012 team that beat North Cedar was 77-18. Had Cole Cook on that team. It's the first time in my life watching Tipton football where I actually felt sorry for the opponent.
It was hard not to. Everything we did worked, and everything they did not work. I've never seen a team that couldn't run, couldn't pass, couldn't kick, couldn't get anything right.
We knew going in that we would have the favor. We won 54-0 last year. Looking back on what they had coming back, it was kind of like, okay, we should be able to handle this team.
Right.
I showed up, look on the sideline, and there were 7 or 8 kids in jeans, not dressed. I thought something's odd here because they were decent sized kids.
Right.
Behind them were probably 13 or 14 cheerleaders, which was more than the actual varsity team.
Right.
I just knew the minute that ball was kicked off, I was like, this is going to be...
Yep. Every big kid from Wise and Muscatine was in their jerseys and jeans. And there's no casts, there's no slings, there's no braces, there's no crutches. So, again, the assumption is always potential academic ineligibility, and we don't know what happened. No speculation going on here, but...
Well, Third and Long's going to speculate.
Okay, we'll speculate what maybe happened, because we did hear rumors.
We heard that their math teachers perhaps didn't turn in their math scores. They left after the school year, didn't turn in their math scores, and that they were ruled ineligible.
I've never heard of anything like that.
I've never either. It sounds like a... like a small school crazy thing, but I would be very upset if I was the parents of those kids that didn't get to play on Friday.
I would be so mad. If it was a teacher in a bad mood that forgot to turn this the grades in, that's pretty rough. Again, to your point, though, I just felt bad for that team. And Coach Nord did everything he could. He called the dogs off early.
There was no punt rush. There was no punt return. We ran basic setups, 4 passes. I mean, we had fresh soft in at the end of the fourth
quarter. It's hard to look at a 70-0 score and say, we did not run up the score.
Correct.
At all. There was, you know, we were joking around a little bit. If we kept our starters and really wanted to put a thumping on them, what score could this have gotten to?
It would probably be in the 200s.
I couldn't agree more. If we really wanted to go after it, and I brought up the example of Georgia Tech Cumberland in 1916. It's the biggest college
Clint's football. Favorite game.
It is. It's 222-0. Georgia Tech was up 152-0 at halftime.
So hypothetical, our fresh soft plays from the opening kickoff to the end. Do we beat that team?
We beat that team, and I actually think we beat them handily. This is the one thing that they did that worked right at the end of the game was put number 70, you know, all probably 300 pounds of number 70 in the backfield.
So, yeah, even though it was a complete domination, there's some things that jumped out to me that just, they're staggering stats. Our defense couldn't have been more dominant if they tried.
Yep.
They were just, they 0 yards passing.
Zero.
They didn't have 1 yard passing. 0 yards passing. 27 yards rushing on 30 attempts. That's... you do the math, that's 0.9 yards per carry, which works out to 2.7 feet per carry. If you were to lay down, just grab the ball and fall forward, just like sneak it every time.
That's my deal. If you quarterback sneak it every play, you're getting more than 27 yards.
You're getting more just handing it off to that number 70. I actually love that setup. Obviously, he wasn't going to do anything, but just at least make it interesting. Give it to that kid and let's see him get tackled.
Let's see if he can hit someone.
Clint, they did not pick up a first down until the last carry of the game by that number 70. He fell forward and picked up first down.
Right.
He gave the old first down sign as if...
And then the refs gave the first down sign and then ran to the car. Like, that was the end of the game. It's absolutely one incredible. First down, zero passing yards, 27 rushing yards. I don't know what else you can ask of a defense than what we did. Jacob Boedeker, Peyton Krock, amazing games. Gary Fitch had a great game. Miles Christian. Garrett and Miles in the middle is just a fantastic thing to watch. I think they're pretty dominant at the linebacker position. Wyatt Hamm on the outside played great. Jason Johnson played great on the other side. We did a lot of things right on defense, and Loaiza Muscatine had no idea where to go with the ball.
We completely dominated them, and you know, it's hard to even look at the stats because you know these kids weren't. We weren't really running our offense. It was just kind of, you know, take the ball and do what you can with it.
Right.
But the stats are even staggering. You know, we on offense, we only passed the ball, you know, four times. But the one thing, our rushing attack,
we passed a total of six. Aiden only did four.
That's true. you look at Everett Giese, eight carries, 100 yards, two touchdowns. You know, that's your running back coming in. You've got Miles Christian, who we thought would be the bell cow. He rushed it two times for 80 yards, 40 yards in average. And then you got Aiden Boston, who rushed it three times for 42 yards. Ethan Holub, six times, 46 yards. Everyone had a day. They weren't able to really do much.
You know? When you score 10 touchdowns, that's a day. Because one person can't do that. My favorite stat in this whole thing. We had four players with two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Four players with multiple touchdowns. Jason Johnson had two. Everett Giese had two. Aiden Boston had two. Wyatt Hamm had two. Miles Christian had one, and Ethan Holub had one.
Well, you know what else happens when you score 70 points? You start to break some records. And yes. I already talked about the points record. We were really close on some things. Extra points were pretty impressive by Austin Ellerhoff. He has nine extra points. I'm going to yell at Tall because he pulled him out on the 10th one. If he leaves them in, Austin Ellerhoff is the third most extra points made in a game in state history. School history, not conference history, not district history, state history.
Well, I hope that Coach Norris listening, so the next time we score 10 touchdowns. He leaves them in.
So we don't. It's not an official stat, but it is the state record for a team for extra points. So that's third amazing. Most in state history. What a cool stat to have.
Great stat to have. And just
we didn't have to go for two on any of those occasions. Just let him do his thing. And Austin, congratulations. Good job.
Yeah, great job, Austin, if he's listening. And I will say 11 kickoffs. It's a lot of kickoffs. Four touchbacks. Again, at the high school level, that's a great stat, too.
Yeah, that gets you some looks from, you know, D3 schools.
It absolutely does.
Because if you can kick the ball to the end zone with the new kickoff rules,
yep,
those are going to happen. There were two people who were, I guess, more tired than the football players on Friday.
Exactly.
One was the announcer reading off the touchdown club.
Congratulations to the touchdown club members.
They won on Friday because they got their name 10 times, and it felt like I heard your name, Clint, every other second.
It was Clint Hinderacher and Third and Long Podcast. I mean, so it's the podcast. We can't forget that.
I appreciate your support. you also supplied a meal, team meal, the Thursday before it.
I did.
So thank you very much for that.
I had a lot of pulled pork.
I was sick of hearing your name by the end of the night. In fact, I think I woke up into cold sweat that... And I heard Clint Hinderacher on Friday night. So let's maybe take it easy with the endorsement stuff.
Hey, I didn't know we would score seven touchdowns. But hey, again, just to do that, though, I really do appreciate the Touchdown Club sponsors. It means a lot to our football program. It's not free to run a football team and pay for this equipment and everything else. So, you know, don't say it again, the Grooming Station, Red Pin, New Body Fitness, Sugar Creek Builders, Tiger Mart, Rock Creek Construction, Matt McCall at State Farm. You guys have done just a great job, and I really, really appreciate the support.
Yeah, it's much needed, and like you said, we hope that we can hear those names.
I was going to say, let's score 70 again tomorrow, or
that
Friday
would be great.
Night.
There was one other squad that was out there on the field, I would say track. that got an absolute workout. I'm talking like they were sore on. They were more sore than the football players on Saturday morning. And I think you know who I'm talking about.
Is it the cheerleaders?
The cheerleaders. they start off doing push-ups. Quickly realized this was not going to happen. For you know, when you're getting up to 50 points, so they move to
7 points, 7 push-ups.
Yep.
And it's cumulative. Cumulative. So 14 points, 14 push-ups.
So I did the math. When I say I did the math, I didn't actually do the math. The computer / AI did the math. 385 jumping jacks they did.
That's, so I remember watching
kudos.
Oregon Duck football. The Oregon Duck always did push-ups. And Oregon is notorious for scoring 50 to 70 points a game. And they quickly realized that's a horrible idea. You can't do that many push-ups. It's nearly impossible. So kudos to the cheerleaders for changing it to jumping jacks and keeping that momentum going. Because just push-ups would have been brutal. Absolutely brutal.
You'd have to go to your knees. I just don't think it would work out.
It would not work out. But hey, like I said, let's do it again on Friday night. 70 points was fun. I don't mind hearing those touchdown club sponsors if we can do it 10 times. And, you know, cheerleaders, let's get ready for
it. You might have to up the ante. You might have to pay a little bit more.
I was going to say, Coach Nor came to me after the game and asked if I wanted to sponsor the second game, too. I was like, hold on, man. So.
Excellent. All right, Clint. So we got a big one this week. You know, Vinton-Shelsburg was a great game last year.
Yeah.
We went up there. It was a huge win for us. We lost two quarterbacks in the first half.
Oh, man.
Wasn't really sure how that game was going to end, and it just we controlled it. That was a 3A program that jumped down to 2A, and right. I was nervous about that game going into it. We're going there. It was on a turf field.
Yeah, we don't play on turf. We don't practice on turf. Nope. We just don't see turf at Tipton all that often.
Yeah, and I knew they were a physical team that ran the ball. Mm-hmm. I was very curious to see how we'd handle that.
Yep.
It was one of my favorite games last year. I drove up there, watched it. And I'm hopeful. I know the game's going to be very similar this year. I just know it. They're too physical. They're a different team than Loiza Muscatine. They're going to
very much
provide
so.
Us all we can handle on Friday.
We're going to see competition on Friday night. You know, like we didn't see at Loiza Muscatine, and that's fine. You and I were chatting before we hopped on here and talked about adversity, right? And last year, you can't give a team any more adversity than we were dealt last year. Watching your two starting quarterbacks, your starting quarterback, your second string quarterback, go down with knee injuries, thrown in your third string. Garrett Fitch throws a touchdown pass, then immediately throws some picks. And we had to change our game plan completely from what we practiced all week. And this is a team that dealt with adversity, and we changed our game plan, and we did ground and pound. We controlled the line of scrimmage. You know, Ian ended up coming back in, but not, you know, more in a running capacity than a throwing capacity, and really game managed it well. And that's, you know, I hope to God that doesn't happen on Friday night, but you know they're going to face adversity on Friday night. Yep. Something's going to happen.
Yep.
Right? You know, whether that be a key injury like we had last year, whether there be a punt return or something weird like that. And it's going to be interesting to watch our seniors lead this team, the Wyatt Hams, Aiden Bostons, the Peyton Crocs, the guys we talked to and said, what does senior leadership mean to you? And when adversity happens, how are you going to step up? And, you know, I'm really excited to see these guys embrace that role, lead this team through adversity. And this is a beatable Vinton-Shelsburg team.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's not. It's just going to be a tougher test than what we saw on Friday.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm very interested to see how this team handles adversity. Are you going to, you know, is the sideline going to, you know, sulk and put your head down? Are you going to get up and pick each other up? They've got to realize that's part of football.
Yep.
Things are going to happen, and let's see how we react to it. You know, Vinton-Shelsburg still is a large 2A program. They have their numbers. They ran into a buzzsaw last week against Benton Community. That's a 3A program that's always going to be ranked. They're just a really good football program. They lost 48-0. That really doesn't surprise me. And frankly, it's kind of what they did last year. And I look at the game.
Yeah.
It's actually a little surprising. Last year, they were a very ground-and-pound type team.
Mm-hmm.
This year, a little different. They looks like they came out and threw the ball.
They did.
I haven't watched the tape, but they threw the ball 25 times, completed about half of those, threw for 140 yards, which is quite a bit on in the air. Did throw two picks. young player, a junior. I don't think we played. I don't think he started last year.
Colt Coppin? Coppin?
Yep. And then they have a running back. It's a sophomore. I don't remember him either. I didn't go to the first soft game. But I don't remember him at the varsity
level. To me, he's their...
Isaiah Schneider, number 21.
Yeah, he's their bell cow. In every stat I'm seeing...
He's their punter.
He's their punter.
He's a rusher. He catches the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, leading receiver, leading rusher, kick returner, punter. So Isaiah Schneider seems to do it all. And they seem more comfortable airing it out this year than they did last year. 25 pass attempts compared to 19 rush attempts. Last year, that was a very lopsided number.
It was running mostly pretty much rush, every time.
Very few passes. If they were, there were a couple dump downs. I think it's going to be a different team than what we see last year. But like you said before, this is similar to how they started last year. And I don't think we went into that overconfident, saying, wow, Benton Community just beat them pretty good. Same thing. I think we all know Benton Community is a pretty good football program. And so this is going to be a good Benton-Shelsbury team that we see. And we need to be ready to play.
Yeah, that game was over. I mean, it was 41-0 at half. Benton only scored 7 in the second half. Obviously, they didn't score any the whole game. But that game is not really something that I'm kind of looking towards with Tipton. I think it's going to be a lot closer game. I think you're going to see a very competitive Vinton team that wants a little revenge. You know, I just remember last year that was a back-and-forth game that could have went either way.
I'd say we beat them in a winnable game last year on their home field. And don't think they haven't forgotten about that.
No.
And so they're going to come back and try to do the same thing to us. What I do think you're going to see is they're going to watch our tape and probably try to implement the same game plan as they did against Benton. And I do think they'll probably try to air it out. I think when you look at our D-line, our DNs, and our linebackers,
yep.
I don't think we're really, really easy to run on up the middle. Maybe here and there, if you can get a spread out a little bit, maybe pass it. But I see them probably a little bit more 50-50 than they were last year, where it was like a 90% run, 10% pass.
Yeah, and I haven't watched tape on these guys this year, the last game, but I do remember last year their linebackers like to come up right up at the line of scrimmage, right on the center.
Yeah.
And they like to either bail on it and go to coverage, or they come blitzing in and just overwhelm the center.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to, you know, we're going to need to protect that.
Again, that's Austin Arhoff,
right? There's a lot of protection. Kind of the offensive line is going to be tested this week. And it's going to be, physicality-wise, it's going to be a lot different game. They're used to playing a game like Benton. We're used to playing a Wise Muscatine. We've got to ramp it up. We're going to have to ramp up the intensity this week, and you're not going to have a team that's going to roll over like we have this past week.
No. Yeah, it'll be a fun test for our offensive line. Like I said, I think Ellerhoff, Kroc, Langley, we haven't mentioned Langley very much. He played a really nice game last week, too. Yep. He's got a mean disposition, likes to hit people, and who doesn't love that on the offensive line? So I'm excited.
I am looking forward to it. Clint, looking at the forecast on Friday, it is Clint Hinderrocker weather to a T.
Yes.
At kickoff, 63 degrees, low wind.
Oh,
the sun's gonna be setting.
That's perfect.
I know you will be in shorts. You'll be in t-shirts, loving life. I'll be in a light sweatshirt.
Well, at this point, I might wear a tank top. We'll see.
I'll be in shorts. But you cannot ask for better weather. I hope everyone comes out. We only have 4 home games. One's right this week. We have a homecoming in a month,
yep,
or 3 weeks.
And then end of the season,
more. So
second
this will be a
game.
Great time to come out and watch these Tigers support us. I am looking forward to it. I cannot wait. Okay. It's been a short week,
and let's get to
Friday.
And this will be a fun football game to watch.
Yes, this will be a game that you're going to see physicality. You're going to see a tight game. This is going to come down to who's not going to turn the ball over. That's the key. I believe
that as well. So, again, the more physical team that holds on to the ball wins this football game.
No interceptions, no fumbles. Yep. And on defense, let's create a bunch of those.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a D that can do it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. All right, Clint, in other sports, I'll start us off with cross country. We have not had a meet yet, but it starts tomorrow. We head off to Kickers.
Let's go.
Excited for that. We've got some big programs that we're going to see. Both programs are set up that I think we're going to have great seasons. We're going to be in contention for both programs. The boys' teams are a little deeper, but they're going to surprise some teams. The girls' team, I think you're going to see we're not quite as deep, But if we can bring those 3 through 5 runners up, we're going to be in contention in this thing. Looking at some of the 2A class, Van Meter, Monticello, Forest City, and I've got Mid Prairies obviously going to be good. Always They've got another Hostetler. If you can believe that. Of course they do. Always going to have a Hostetler.
Why wouldn't
they? They've had one since 2016. They're going to continue to have that family lineage.
They just had a girl every 4 years. It's insane.
Super smart.
I don't know how they did
that. And the dad is the coach of the cross-country team, so he knows what he's doing.
Odd planning. It's good. But
Mid-Prairie will be very tough this year. In fact, I have them at favorites. Van Meter and Forest City are the teams to beat. We are right there with them.
We got the ability to do it. Like and you said, it takes that 3 through 5 runner. I was thinking 4 and 5. The 4 or 5 runners are going to be impressive. I you hate to say, you know, season success hinges on, but I feel like every year we're talking about the 5 runner at Tipton, whether it be boys or girls.
You're going to see that across the board, at least in 2A girls. Monticello, Mid Prairie, Van Meter, Forest City, all. It's all hinging on that 5th runner. Just the early results that I've seen.
I mean, it's so funny how we position. Focus on the Noel Steinis, and we focus on the, you know, Caleb Shoemakers, and we focus on these studs that everyone knows across the stakes are state champions. When realistically, a lot of these meets come down to how's the 5 runner score.
Yep.
And so it's
on the boys' side. I'm expecting some big things. We're going to shock some people because we have some younger kids. We have a mix of seniors with Clay and Caleb, and then Zach. And there's a lot of good runners. It may sound
crazy. I got excited watching that Tiger Prowl.
Yeah.
We got some really good boy runners.
Now, with that said, on the boys' side, we are going to surprise some people, but the 2A is absolutely loaded.
It's stacked.
Absolutely. Stacked. Mid Prairie returns everyone from their state championship.
Yeah.
they're going to be the team to beat. You got some other teams that I'll talk about later here in the season, but they've got their hands full, but we're going to be right in the contention at the end of the
year. And I did see district sites came out, and I would have to Monticello guess we're probably Monticello or Oline.
Right? Yeah, one of those two.
One of the two.
Yep. The junior high does not – I misspoke last week. The junior high does not go to kickers.
Right.
They come to Tipton next week. Hopefully everyone can come out next week. It should be a good weather event.
Let's do it. It'll be a great race.
Looking forward to tomorrow just to see where we're at. Really doesn't have any, you know, say on the season. We just want to keep improving.
And the other thing that happens tomorrow – is our volleyball team is finally back in action tomorrow.
It's a big one, right?
It's a huge one. West Liberty at Tipton. Our JV and fresh soft get it started at 5:45, and our varsity starts at 7.
I am going to try to make it back to that.
Yep, I will be there.
All right.
And so, like I said, this is our two first conference games. We're West Liberty and Wilton. And so you cannot ask for a harder start to conference schedule.
No.
But great test. We're a really good volleyball team, and this will be a really nice test against some really good teams.
Yeah, and we'll face them again, obviously, probably, right, or not?
Absolutely. Well, yes, we absolutely do.
So I love that we're facing them early, and we get to see them early, and then we come back and face them again.
Absolutely.
It'll be two different teams, I feel.
This will be a fun night tomorrow night.
Perfect. All right, Clint, let's move on to our picks. How did we do last week?
Sad to say, you beat me.
Yes, I was actually thinking the other way around.
You actually had a really nice week. You went 14-3, which is impressive. The only games you lost were North Cedar. You had North Cedar over Highland.
Come on, North Cedar.
And you had Texas A&M over Notre Dame, and you had Danville over Linville Sully.
Those are all that I should have picked the other way around. I knew it when I picked them.
There you go.
Should have had a perfect week.
I went 12-5. You went 14-3, so you got me by 2 at this point.
This is a good start for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Playing from behind already. I bogeyed the first hole.
So the good news is neither you or I have seen the football contest this week, so we're doing this blind.
This is blind.
Let's go. Let's get into this.
This is a good competition. I'll be
right. The one thing that's confused me is there were some games last week that I'm like, why was that not in the football contest? So we might have to add some or something.
I couldn't agree more. I feel
super
like
odd to me. So let's start us off. Albernett versus at Comanche. I'll start us off. I think Comanche is going to win. Albernett, ironically, is joining the River Valley Conference, for those of you who didn't know.
Really?
We don't know if they'll be in the South or the North. But that is voted upon here in September. I think it was already voted upon. They are in the River Valley Conference.
This is
Albert, for next year. Yes.
Albernett. I was shocked to hear that.
Odd.
I'm going Albernett. Did you say Albernett?
I said Comanche.
You said Comanche. Okay. Yep. Al Burnett is that, it's that great wrestling school, you know, so you start to wonder if it's, if that translates over.
They were a good basketball school too. They beat us in districts. They have a good boys team. They have a decent girls team as well. So,
all right,
a good program to add.
I got Albernette, you got Comanche. We're starting off good. Opposites.
All right, so you go first. Anamosa at Center Point Urbana. That'll be a good one.
Ooh, I'm only because I have a former JUCO coach that coached at CPU for a while. I'm gonna go CPU on that one.
CPU beat me my senior year. I dislike them.
Forget those guys.
I dislike them a lot. I think Anamosa, until Scringe shows me he can't take over a game, I'm going Anamosa.
Perfect.
All right, next game, Dyersville Beckman versus Monticello. Monticello had a rough start.
They did.
Obviously had to face, who were they facing last year? Oh,
that's all I can tell you here.
I know they did Mount, is it Mount Vernon? They
it
did
was Mount Vernon. Vernon. Okay. That's tough a start. Tall, that's a tall order on game
that's
one.
That's a tough start. Yeah. I'm actually going to go Monticello. They face Mount Vernon. I think they're just a better program than Beckman.
I was actually going to go Monty as well. Okay. You could not go by what they did last week because Mount Vernon's a good.
All right, another district team, Northeast versus Central DeWitt. Who you got?
Ooh, how did Northeast do last week? I feel like they got smoked, didn't they?
I could be
100% wrong on that, but I feel like they we might have them. No, Northeast actually won. I'm going Northeast.
Good, because I'm going Central DeWitt. That one is my lock of the week.
Ooh, I like
Central
that.
Central DeWitt will win by at least 40.
Oh, I like this.
That's just the way it's going to be.
You know, you said that about Texas A&M over Notre Dame because of their NIL fund. I just want to remind you, that was your lock of the week. I mean,
we don't have NIL yet in high school. Hopefully Tipton's changing that. All right, the next one, West Liberty at Wilton. What a game. If I wasn't going to the Tipton-Vinton-Shelsburg game, I actually probably go to this game.
You're right.
I think West Liberty's kind of a sleeper team this week or this year. I am going with West Liberty, believe it or not.
All right. I'm actually going to go Wilton on this one, okay. So we're opposite again. Wilton played a really nice game last week against Mid-Prairie, and so we'll see if they can keep the momentum going.
All right, Tipton versus Vinton-Shelsburg. I'll let you have this one first.
Well, I got to go Tipton on this one.
Double it up. I'm going Tipton.
Perfect.
I think that
I'm not going to ask you for a score guess.
All right, the team that burnt me last week, North Cedar, come on, versus Maquoketa Valley. I'm switching my gears. I'm going Maquoketa Valley. You can't beat Highland. You're not beating Maquoketa Valley.
I'm going Maquoketa MV as well.
Gave you a chance,
North Valley Cedar. As well.
For those kids that want to come to Tipton, come on over.
Again, they lost. You know, who's
Timmy's?
Timmy's. It's hard to play football without Ethan Timmy's on the field.
If you are at North Cedar and you want to come to Tipton, we will gladly take you. So.
NIL fun. We got like
let's go.
Dairy Queen gift cards and stuff.
Lots of them. As many as you can have. All right, next one. This is you. We've got North Lynn versus Postville. Love to hear what you're going to say here.
I'm going to go North Lynn only because I've actually seen them play before. But that's
I dislike their football field.
Literally the only
Luckily
reason.
They're playing in Postville. I will go North Lynn as well.
All right. They got that white picket fence.
Oh, I hate it.
Okay.
Do well, not like it.
Man.
All right, Clayton Ridge versus Starmont. I'm going Starmont. Like this, I'm going Starmont on this one.
I feel like this is always one of the games.
Somehow I played Starmont my senior. We had took a bus way up there to Strawberry Point. And, I'm going Starmont.
I'm actually going Starmont, too. Dang it. This is the fourth game.
Do you know where Clayton Ridge is?
I have no idea.
Gutenberg. Great little town.
Oh, okay. Rivertown. That's a great town.
Yep. Yeah. Another river town here. We got East Buchanan versus Bellevue. Love Bellevue. My aunt lives in Bellevue. If you haven't been there, fun little community to visit.
I'm going East Buck.
I can't remember if I got burned on Bellevue last year or not, or last week. I'm going East Buchanan as well. I think they had a big guy that went to Iowa last year, but I still think they're a better program.
It's the home of Robert Gallery.
Yeah, so I'll go East Buchanan.
All right,
the big one here, Clint. I get first, Iowa versus Iowa State. I'm first, so don't even answer that.
All right.
I was not impressed with Iowa's offensive line. I was hoping to see improvement there. Not even close.
Oh, yeah.
They got manhandled by Illinois State.
That's not good.
Especially in the first half. Second half, we had some big plays, but still didn't see the progress I wanted to see. I'm nervous about this one. A lot more nervous than they should be. Iowa's going to win this one, though.
All right. I have Iowa. Good. The only thing that scares me is not the offensive line. It's honestly the law of large averages. We've beaten Iowa State a lot, and they're kind of due. That's my only problem with this game right now.
Didn't we lose last week, last year?
Because we're kind of due. Whereas ISU, no.
We lost last year.
No, we did not. Did we?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Wait, the year before that was Hunter Decker's crazy game. Yeah.
Right.
We won last year.
Well, Iowa, it's Iowa State, so they're going to find a fourth-string quarterback that becomes Brock Purdy against us.
Yeah. So I'm sick with Iowa. Next one, this is for you. Central College, Illinois Wesleyan. Tell me what you know about these two teams.
I remember getting recruiting letters from both of them. I got to go Central. I mean, it's a powerhouse.
Give me Central. I think it went Central all last year. Let's go Central.
Yep.
All right. Game of the week, in my opinion, Michigan against Texas.
Ooh.
What a fantastic college game.
That is really good.
I will take Texas.
Ah. Where's that? Does it say?
You know, the way these things are structured, it shows Texas, but the Iowa State shows it them. And it's
I'm going to take Michigan on this.
All right. Good. Next one, North Carolina State versus Tennessee. This is you.
I'm going to go Tennessee.
All right. I'll go Tennessee as well. We move into NFL. I'm pumped for this. Giants versus Vikings.
Honestly, these are two horrible teams right now. I'm going to go Giants, mostly because the Vikings seem like they're in a deep depression after losing their quarterback.
Yeah, I think Giants' defense is pretty good. I think their offense is going to struggle.
Then I grew up hating the Vikings.
But I'm going to go with the Giants as well. The next one, maybe about three or four people watching it, the Bears versus the Titans.
You know.
I mean, the Bears made huge improvements in the offseason. I will give you that.
Massive.
I'm very interested to see how this thing turns out.
Massive.
They have every weapon you could ask for on offense.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen? I'm hoping for epic failure for the Bears. If Caleb Williams even is remotely average, he will be the greatest Chicago Bear of all time.
Rookie of all time.
Of all time. Yeah. Sid Luckman, is that who it is?
Who's there? I don't know. They show the rookie numbers.
Jay Cutler.
They're not hard to beat.
Jim Harbaugh. Jim McMahon. I can't think. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are bad for the Bears.
That's true.
He could be the greatest, and
it's
that was
true.
Just preseason that we saw.
So what are you going with here? Titans
this
or
is
Bears?
You. You got to choose.
Oh, I'm going Bears, of course. I mean, this is a Super Bowl run team right now.
I would rather take the L than pick the Bears. I will take the Titans. The Bears will it'll blow up.
Perfect.
The fans will turn on Caleb Williams very quickly. I hope. All right, the next one, Browns versus the Cowboys.
I got to go Cowboys on this.
I'm going the Browns.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
The Cowboys have no running game. They've got a lot of turmoil.
It's America's team, Josh.
It's not.
It's America's.
The America's team is the next team I'm about to explain. This team is the best team in the NFL.
So it's the Lions versus who?
Lions versus Matthew Stafford in the L.A. Rams. Man. What a game. A little rematch from the divisional playoff game.
Don't you have like a relative that plays for the Rams?
Not the Rams, the Chargers.
The Chargers, okay.
But this is going to be a fun one. Sunday Night Football. My Detroit Lions are going to represent the NFC well. They're going to beat down the Rams. And they're running for Super Bowl.
I've got the Detroit Lions as well.
Yes, you do, and so do I.
I know.
All right, perfect. All right, let's move on to what did we learn? What I learned is the Tipton Youth Basketball Association, led by Matt LaFrenz right now, we're doing big things. We raised some money through a variety of sponsorship and the club stuff that we did. We actually went ahead. One of the things we were missing is a scoreboard on side of the scoreboard.
The banners. The banners on the side of the scoreboard.
The banners on the side that tell stats, that tell the fouls.
Yeah.
Almost every school district has it, except for Tipton.
Yep.
We went ahead and bought one.
Are they
with
installed
our funds
yet?
They're not,
but they're coming.
They're here. They're actually there. That's we're trying so to get them cool. installed. It'll be great for wrestling. It'll be great for volleyball. Great, fantastic for basketball.
I'm
pumped for that.
That's excellent.
The second part of that is we're actually trying to get a spotlight, add a little bit of flavor to the starting lineups, whether it's wrestling, whether it's volleyball, whether it's basketball. We're trying to get the spotlight thing dialed in. We've got approval to do it. The Tipton Youth Basketball Association is going to purchase it. Now we just got to figure out what we want to do. I didn't realize there's that much that goes into it.
Apparently,
we've talked to some people about it. We haven't really figured out the exact spot for it in terms of where we're going to put it.
Yeah.
If it's going to go above the midcourt, if it's going to be a spotlight that someone manually runs, if it's going to be automatic, we don't know.
And we're hoping to get a spotlight with a Tipton Tiger logo in it, right?
That's in works. Cool. Don't know if it's going to happen.
Sure, but that would be cool.
Very pumped. We're trying to add a little excitement to the opening of these games, but looking forward to that. Nice. And then secondly, I did learn, my daughter handed me her cross-country spikes to clean.
Yeah.
Those were not clean since Fort Dodge back in Halloween of last year.
Yep.
And that was, I don't know if you remember, that was 32 degrees, snowing.
It was muddy. Nasty. It was a nasty day.
Nasty day. She handed me these and said, hey, tomorrow I have a meet. Can you clean these? That was cement I took off the bottom of those cleats.
I bet it was.
She got a good lashing to say, why is this just getting handed to me now? So I learned, check the cleats. That was a fresh mistake on my part.
Right.
Check the cleats after the state tournament and clean those up so they're ready to go. So. All
right. Well, hey, I'll go what I learned real quick before you shut us down. I played my first 8-inch cup golf tournament.
I bet you putted well.
You're putting into a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Dug into the ground. It's kind of amazing. And, shout out to Ethan Powers and my team. We won the tournament at Wakanza. I learned that I kind of love 8-inch cup golf.
Well, yeah.
That's a ton of fun. They should make all the cups like that. That's amazing. But why are we playing this tiny cup golf?
That's true.
It's unbelievable. So
I don't know if I'd like that, though, because my putter is perfectly round with the cup. I would have to get a bigger putter to visualize that.
But it was a great Labor Day weekend, great sign-off to summer, good tournament at Wakanda.
Somewhat not surprised that you went golfing in a tournament.
I'm not either.
You've put in some rounds this year.
I'm not either.
Well, thank you for joining us. We look forward to a great week of football, and hopefully you can join us down at the football field, at Diedrichson Field, on Friday night. Clint and I will be down there. If you see us, say hi, and hopefully we come out with another victory. 2-0 start would be great.
Let's go Tigers.
And let's go Tigers. We'll see you next week.